All right, here we are, hour number three. Oh, no, number two. Number three is next. Let's see, I get confused by Friday. One, two, three. All right, I got it. This is hour number two. Now, in the middle of tonight's program, I want you to listen very carefully to this. This is really important. This could save your life and the life of your loved ones. I am not exaggerating. This isn't hyperbole. It's all about this alleged coronavirus vaccine. It's not a vaccine. I'm not speaking for my guests. I'm speaking for myself. It is a carrier. Other things are being injected in people. And I've said it before tonight, and I'll repeat it. Moderna claims to have created their coronavirus vaccine in 2 days. Do you get the joke? If you aren't laughing with incredulity, you missed the joke. That's what they said. How much testing should be forced on a vaccine for anything? 5 to 10 years. Everyone with a brain says that. 5 to 10 years. We're not getting that. We're getting nothing. Mitchell Henderson, our Intel analyst and asset and friend and colleague, is back tonight, and we're going to talk about this alleged vaccine, which is designed to be given to the majority of the 8 billion people on this planet, the great majority. And I think all of you can connect the dots on that before we even start. But let's start. Mitchell, thank you for being here and welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure.
I just recently got back into town, today actually, and I had a flurry of messages, from various sources and stuff. And I was a little bit surprised because it actually gave me more perspective on what is going on. Previously, I was thinking that a war between China, the United States, and Russia would be plan A because the Zionists do not want to share power with anybody, and they don't want to have to deal with appeasing anybody. They want everybody totally under their control.
That's right.
Okay. They would not want these countries to be a powerful country. But then I had somebody call to my attention that what I thought was plan A is just plan B. Plan A has been happening. They were a little bit surprised that I wasn't like super clear on that already. They said it's so obvious. First of all, as we know, the coronavirus, I mean, it kills so few people, really. I mean, all you have to do is take the daily figure of say the world, how many people have been infected in the world, divide that by 8 billion, It's a very small number. Look at how many people have died of it in the world, and it's even a smaller number.
And that number of people, Mitchell, who have allegedly died from coronavirus in the world is as bogus as the day is long. It's a fraud. That number is not real. It is predicated on people by the millions being termed coronavirus victims who were never really infected. It's
well,
come on, everybody.
Nobody's died of the flu recently, you know.
Like, no, the flu's gone. It's been renamed coronavirus. Yeah.
Okay. So I can clearly see that. Plus the figures on the tests that they're using to test people for this virus, it's only 3% accurate. Okay, so the number of you're seeing that 97% of the positives are false positives. These people don't have any coronavirus.
That's right.
And the PCA, the PCR test, it looks for this tiniest fragment of coronavirus. Okay, well, you do know that a coronavirus is also the common cold, okay? So if you have the common cold, you have a coronavirus. Well,
if you've had the, excuse me, if you've had Ladies and gentlemen, if you've had a cold, you've had coronavirus in the past. Not this alleged version of it. All right, so you've had a cold, a bad one, a good one, whatever. There's no such thing as a good one, but you've had a reasonable cold. You're going to have debris, genetic debris from that coronavirus running around in your system, little fragments here and there. And what the PCR test is looks for fragments of coronavirus. When they do this with amplification, and I'd call it enlargement, that's better. They'll take a sample, and they'll look, they don't find anything, they'll enlarge it. And I mean they enlarge it unbelievably until they find a piece, a fragment of some coronavirus, and they go, aha. Now, you go back to the Kerry Mullis, I think his name is, the guy that invented the PCR test. He said, this test is not to be used to diagnose clinical infection. It's not appropriate. This is the PCR pandemic, not the coronavirus pandemic. Go ahead, Mitch.
So, anyways, when you get a cold, it's an adenovirus, a rhinovirus, or a coronavirus. There's so many coronaviruses that you can get reinfected almost every day of every year of your entire life. That's how many different coronaviruses there are. They're all over the place. That's why it doesn't really make you that terribly sick. And, you know, so they haven't tried to make a vaccine for it. And it's pointless because, well, the next one you catch will be a little bit different. So the vaccine will not work. But then again, it's not that big of an issue. But anyways, this pandemic is actually, it is plan A for the Marxist Zionist cabal to take over the world. Okay. Right. One of the key ways that it is that, okay, so, you know, as you know, Trump came out and he said, well, we'll have a vaccine with a year and then we can go back to normal. Well, just recently, since they started giving the vaccine, okay, Bill Gates said publicly, well, we still need to be closed for at least 18 months lockdown prior and after everybody is vaccinated. Fauci said it'll be through next winter. We have to be in lockdown and keep the mask on, social distance. Even if everybody is vaccinated, we still need to do all those things. Okay. So let me ask you, if you still have to wear a mask, you still have to social distance, you still have to lock down, you still can't go to the places that you used to go to and stuff, why would you take the vaccine? Why? What's the purpose of the vaccine if it's not to stop problem?
You've just exposed the whole crux of the fraud. I mean, when Thug Fauci says, well, you're going to have to keep wearing that mask even if you do get vaccinated in it, blah, 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 blah. It's all a lie. It's a lie.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lie. It's a damn lie.
They keep saying it. Van Gupta said vaccinations do not stop the shutdowns. Everybody must be vaccinated without exception. And then a year later, 2 years later, we can open up for business and back to normal again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Of course.
Kamala Harris says, everybody will get the vaccine, period. Now, just a month ago, she said she wouldn't take a vaccine developed under Trump because she wouldn't trust it. But now that she thinks she's going to be the next vice president, she's giving out orders,
She thinks she's going to be the president.
This vaccine.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. But let me give you something. This is directly from the source, okay? I'm going to be reading to you from, it's called Department of the Army Technical Manual 3-216. It's called Technical Aspects of Biological Defense. Okay, so it says the objective of biological operations, the ultimate objective of biological operations is to directly or indirectly reduce a target population's ability to wage war. So what they're talking about here is they need people, they need to make people sick enough so that there is no counter-revolution against the Marxists. Okay, so let me get into a little detail on that. Okay, so you're correct when you say that the coronavirus is not the infection. Okay, the infection is the vaccine. Okay, to see the coronavirus is only going to, at its best, it cannot infect every person on Earth. It can't do it. Okay. But a vaccination program, it can infect every person on Earth. Okay.
Yep.
This is an mRNA virus injected into your cell. Okay. And there's several problems with it. I tried to do some research through medical papers and stuff like that to see. See, there's a little problem. It's like your DNA, your DNA that makes up you. At the end of the DNA, there's these things called telomeres. Telomeres determine the length of life of that cell. So every time that cell splits into two cells, okay, part of its telomeres goes away, and that's the time clock telling that DNA how long it's got to live. Okay. It also protects it from other things attaching to it. Okay. So this mRNA has no telomeres. So I was a little curious as to, like, well, how long will this last in your body? You know, and the vaccination people says, oh, protein enzymes within your cells will disassemble this mRNA within a time. Okay. So I tried to find out what that time is. And, you know, that time is proprietary patented information that is not permitted to be told to anybody. So how long that mRNA stays intact within your cells is an unknown, and they're not going to tell you what it is. Okay. So what is this? What are the implications of this? Well, if there's no telomeres on this, then there's no time clock of life, okay, to say how long this is going to last. So it is immortal. And what do we call cell immortality? We have a name for it. We call it cancer, okay? So it's almost like they're injecting cancer into us, okay?
Right.
What's worse is where did they get the segments to arrange this mRNA to inject into you? Well, it came from all kinds of things. It comes from baby fetuses. It comes from pigs. It comes from monkeys. It comes from all kinds of organisms. Okay. Now this is a big problem. Okay. Cause you're putting, well, let me put it this way. I took a class in biotechnology. This was about 12 years ago or so. So they've moved on greatly from then. But they had this experiment where young women can have a stroke very easy. If they take birth control and they smoke cigarettes and they sit for a long time, they can form a blood clot, which can stroke them out at a young age, like 19, 20, 21, in the prime of their life. So they decided to do this experiment where they took pig fetal tissue, brain tissue from a pig fetus, and they injected it into the dead part of the woman's brain. Okay. Well, when they did this experiment, so they made the husband and the wife sign an agreement that they would never have sex with anybody else, only each other. Even if they get divorced, that means they can't get married again. They can't have sex with anybody else. They had to agree to these terms. And the reason why is because they said this fetal tissue, pig tissue that they were putting in, had a coat on for a virus that if it was activated, it could destroy humanity. It could kill all of us. Okay. And so after 23 women had this procedure, they said, okay, we have to stop because the more people that get this, the more danger that this will spread. And the way that it happens is like in your own DNA, you have parts of your DNA that do not express themselves. And the way that you keep them from expressing themselves is you put a methyl molecule on the tips of those, the joining places of those different, you know, GTCA nucleotides and stuff in order to, keep them, and a methyl is just carbon and three hydrogens. Okay, it's like methane gas, you know, but it's called methylation. So can your body just decide to demethylate a section of DNA? Well, yes, it can. It can do that any day. It can do that. Okay. So the danger of putting other animals' DNA into our body is horrific in its implications. I mean, something could go so terribly wrong by putting this messenger RNA into your cells. Can that demethylate something that can wipe humanity out? Okay, well, I don't think that they would do something to kill everybody. They just want to kill like 7.5 billion of us. That's all.
80%, 80 to 85%, something.
Yeah,
like that.
Right. So
it's in the Georgia Guidestones, friends.
Oh,
look up the Georgia Guidestones.
Yes,
it's all there.
Yes.
They put it right up.
So, let me read on, because this is kind of interesting. This is from that same Army technical manual. It says, prior to the development of modern medicine, disease killed more soldiers than did actual combat. This was due to overcrowding, poor camp hygiene, inadequate medical support, and the physical stresses of combat. World War II was the first war in the history of the United States Army where deaths from combat exceeded those from disease. But check this out. But death from disease is not the only problem. The fighting strength of the U.S. Army in World War II was significantly weakened by lost man days due to sickness. And this is just regular everyday sickness. The number of lost man days due to naturally occurring disease was equivalent to 18 U.S. Army infantry divisions operating for a three-year period. Okay?
Wow.
So the military potential of disease has not been overlooked. Okay. If naturally occurring disease can have a major military impact, how much greater could that effect be if disease-producing microorganisms were employed intentionally? Okay. So this is straight from the Biological Warfare Manual. Okay. This is not me talking. This is the U.S. military talking. Okay. And what we have here is look at it like a two-phase thing. First, you have the psychological warfare going on, which is the whole thing. Like, oh, everybody needs health care. Everybody has a right to health care. You know, it's a human right. And, we could have a pandemic. We can have all these disasters happen, blah, 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 on and on. You know, we listen to it constantly. The world government and the governments in general are fear mongers. That's how they gain voluntary compliance and stuff. They do it through fear. So first they built up the fear, and then the escape hatch, okay, for you personally, is going to be this vaccine. So it's like carrot and stick. The stick is the disease. The carrot is the vaccine, which will free you from the disease. This vaccine is a nightmare. Okay, it makes call it what you want: hybrid humans, GMO humans, cyborg humans, chimera humans. I mean, everything but humans. I think there's another implication to this. It's immoral to kill human beings. But what if the people are not humans anymore? Is it immoral to kill them?
Oh, very interesting. Very smart. Good call on that one. Is it? One wonders. If someone is no longer a natural-born human but a GMO or a chimera, are they still entitled to the same legal rights as a natural-born human? Interesting.
Add on to that the fact that you, your DNA, your personal DNA right now, cannot be patented by anybody. But when they give you this injection, okay,
guess what?
They change your DNA, and now guess who owns your DNA? These medical companies own your DNA. Yep. If they own your DNA, they own you. This
Unreal.
Is a massive enslavement.
Unreal. Unreal. Wow. Just incredible. Mitchell. I'm sorry. When you try to warn people, they've been brainwashed so terribly. When you try to warn them about this vaccine, hey, it's not a vaccine. Don't take it. They look at you like you're crazy, or they become angry with you, or if they've been a friend for a number of years, and they tell you to go to hell. They're not your, well, first of all, they're not your friend. They're an acquaintance at that point.
Right.
They don't deserve to be called friends, so you're better off. They have a limit? No, friends don't do that to friends, a real friend. So we got real big social problems with this, medical, scientific, and the idea that your body is no longer your own because you have been genetically manipulated and somebody owns your genome now, your tweaked genome, you're no longer a free man or woman at all. You're owned property, you're chattel. And they have a stock certificate on you somewhere. Count on it. This is really...
This is very, very cleverly thought out. This is carefully thought out.
Evil as it gets.
Very well planned. It is as evil as you can possibly get.
Yeah, you know, very good. Hold on.
It's like... Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hang on, Mitch. We'll be right back. Mitchell Henderson is with us again. And think about these things, dear friends. Please think. Be right back. Okay, and we're back talking with Mitchell about the idea that as soon as you take this alleged vaccine, it is not a vaccine, it will change your DNA. You are no longer what you were when you were born on this planet, and you are apparently patentable. Think about it. It's insane, but true. Go ahead, Mitch.
Yeah, so you can actually be owned. It's like, it's all part of, you know, it's all part of the, part of Marxist strategy is one part is to impoverish everybody, to destroy the middle class. And well, with the shutdown, we see that happening. That's happening worldwide. With this pandemic, they don't need a world war to set up a Marxist Zionist world government. They have everything right now that they need. So I want to mention a few things that we have to keep our eye on. For example, when I got back, I heard all this stuff, like the Supreme Court was very divided over not taking this case, that Texas brought because if you remember, at the beginning of the month, I'd said that the government will always do what is the easiest thing to do, okay? In other words, if they come down on the side of the people that are going to riot, then they'll come down on their side to keep them from rioting. If they're going to come down on the side of the people who do not riot or do not use violence, okay, well, we need to come down on the side of the violent people because we need to keep them in check. Okay, it's all control issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Alito and Clarence Thomas both came down on Judge Roberts and said, "Well, why wouldn't you hear this?" And Judge Roberts says, "Because if we tell the truth, if we have this case and Trump wins, because all this fraud is exposed, there will be rioting in the streets. America will burn down."
She
said the very thing. This is why, I every time I come on, I try to say a little bit about my book. It's called A Man Beyond His Mission. It's on Amazon by Mitchell Henderson. And what it is I tell you in there, I spent my life in the government. I tell you in there how the government thinks and how the government works. Okay. It's from lived experience. It's from things that I experienced. It's not It's not hearsay. It's stuff that I directly experienced, and I saw it at work for firsthand. For a good example is the UFOs and space aliens. Well, the government will never admit to that simply because they can't do anything about it. So if they can't do something about it, then they will just deny that the problem exists.
Got it.
Okay. You see, with the pandemic, they snowed. They did a snow job on Trump and got him to go along with this stuff. He found out too late that they were full of shit. And they destroyed the economy. Destroyed everything.
They literally did. They destroyed it. 200 years worth of economic growth slowly in this country.
Yes, they did.
At least 100 years. It's all gone.
Oh, yeah.
Destroyed.
Right. Destroyed. Because they're about, Marxists are about power. They're not about helping people. They're about power and power alone. Okay. And it's the easiest thing to control is people that have nothing. Okay. So if they can take everything away from you, and you depend on them for everything you get, then they own you. They can control. This is all about ownership of you. This they want to control the details of everyday life. And as I was saying, as Marxism wants to destroy the economy, they also want to destroy humanity. They want to take your humanity away. They cannot implement their goals without taking away your humanity. Now, they did this previously through cultural Marxism and, like, allowing sexual perversion to flourish, okay? Now, some states even allow all drugs to be used. None of them are outlawed because, you know, if people are hooked on drugs, they're not concerned with what's going on in the world. You know, back in ancient Greece, they had two kinds of people. They called them polite people, and then they had idiots. Id from, like, Sigmund Freud, the id, the ego, and the superego. So what an idiot was in ancient Greece was a person who was only concerned with their lives and what's going on in their lives. That's what an idiot meant, okay? And a polite person was somebody who was interested in what was going on in the polis, in the city, in the metropolitan area. Whatever, what's going on in the world around them, not just with them within themselves. Okay, so the goal of any dictatorship is they want idiots. Idiots are easier to control. Polite people are difficult to control. Okay, if you have some moral standards, or you have some will, or you have any standards whatsoever, you're a problem for these people because these people they don't have. You know, look at the people who are picking for leadership and stuff. They don't have any morals. There's no morals. There's no integrity. There is no nothing there. It is just pure evil. Okay, so this is what we have to face. So what's going to happen is when I got back, they said, well, you know, they're making all these military movements and stuff. And well, I'm very in tune with the military. And I would have to assess it going, it could go either way based on who's in the military and who's in law enforcement, because basically half of the people they stand by their oath to the Constitution and stuff, and they're against Marxism. But the other half of the people are thoroughly brainwashed. They're Marxists and they don't even know they're Marxists. I told you last time I lost my best friend because I told him he was a Marxist. And he says, well, I've never read Marx or read about Marx in my whole life, so I can't be a Marxist. And I said, well, if you've never read Marx, how do you know you're not a Marxist? Okay, and that ended our friendship right there. It's like most Marxists don't know that they're Marxists. They think they're just following what's popular. Okay. They don't know that name Marxism attached to it. But the purpose of cultural Marxism was to specifically avoid the word Marxism. Okay. The cultural Marxists like Adorno and Horkheimer, they said, well, we're going to call it critical theory instead of Marxism. And that's where we get like critical race theory and everything else. It's just Marxism. It's just a euphemism that the cultural Marxists created for Marxism. So, you know, we see that going. Now we have we do have a little bit of a fly in the ointment that may be in our advantage, and that is if Biden takes the presidency, China owns him. China paid for the cheating in the election and stuff. They footed the bill for that. They footed the bill for that so that they could get back to where they were before. China's been falling apart these last 4 years and stuff. They're not doing well, and they want to do well, and the only way they can do well is to get Biden in office so he will, you know, depend on China for everything. This is a problem with the globalists, though, because although they would like to have a Marxist leadership here in the United States, they don't want a strong U.S.-China like relationship, because that creates a problem for them, because it means they're not in control, okay? And they want to be in control above all else. So if I was to call what's going to come in between now and January 6th, okay, understanding how the government works, I know, of course, they're going to rig the election for the two senators in Georgia, and the Democrats are going to win. You know, it'll be a miracle. But then again, we have a miracle vaccine that they made in just 1 year. You know, so we're living in a time of many miracles. Okay? Like, miraculously, overnight, when everybody went home, all of a sudden, Biden jumped ahead to win the election. That was a miracle. So we're living in a time of many, many miracles. Okay, wonders and miracles, whatever you want to call them. But you see, the globalists actually don't want China and the United States to be close. That's not a good thing for them. They don't want that to happen. So Joe may have stepped on it as far as China goes. That may be his undoing, okay? Because in our military, we don't want China to rule the United States, okay? And there's still enough people in the military, in the government that still want us to be a free country, you know? So it's like, if they would just act, okay, under legal orders, then maybe they can pull it off. Now, if Trump becomes president again for 4 years, do you realize that what that buys us? It buys us 4 more years to get ready for the inevitable, because these people have been planning and plotting this, I want to say, for 2,000 years.
Okay? Yeah.
They've been patient. They've waited. I notice they're starting to get impatient. They're jumping the gun. They're starting to cheat. Under cultural Marxism, they weren't supposed to cheat. They were just supposed to wait until everybody became acculturated into being a Marxist without even knowing they were a Marxist. It's sort of like
without even knowing
the body
it. Exactly.
Snatchers, you know?
That's right. Didn't know it.
Without even knowing it. So it was supposed to just sneak up on us and stuff. But they're ultimately power hungry, and they can't help themselves but to cheat and to advance the cause faster if they can. Originally, they didn't like the idea of they thought the Bolsheviks messed up in Russia. Antonio Gramsci said in the 1920s, the Soviet Union is going to fall apart eventually, because you cannot impose Marxism. You have to grow up and be a Marxist. Okay.
Right.
And the Marxists did such a crappy job when they took power in countries they were at. Okay. They had to worry about social order. So it turned out that many of the people in the communist countries hated communism. They hated life under communism. They hated everything about it. Okay. No matter how they brainwashed them, what people did is they just said, they just agreed with the officials, whatever they said, but it wasn't in their heart. Okay. The goal of cultural Marxism is to get it in everybody's heart, get it in everybody's head. Okay. And yet you have to remember too that they have, one of their, like the motto of the Mossad in Israel is by way of deception, okay? So the Marxists, the cultural Marxists, the Zionists, they use deception all the time to accomplish their goals, because, deception is just part and parcel of war. Okay, they're at war with us and stuff, okay? So let me tell you a little bit about Plan B, because they might have to go to that. They have been building, now to find out what is in the mind of the Zionist globalists, look at their literature. They publish it. They tell you what's in their mind. Yeah, like, for example, Foreign Policy Magazine, which is a journal at the newsstand. It's from the Council of Foreign Relations, which is a globalist organization that was founded many, many years ago. The National Interest was founded by two guys. Their two chairmen was Henry Kissinger, who's a globalist, of course, and then Maurice Greenberg, who was the head of AIG. I mean, when you look at the cause of the 2008 crash, see Maurice Greenberg. He created the credit default swaps and stuff. This was his invention. Okay. An interesting thing about him also is that he has always been behind these Zionist causes and stuff. He never went to jail for the crash or anything. He just gave up his company and formed a different company. He's still rich and doing well. So when you look at deception, you have to look at this also. I mean, we've talked previously about how there's 45 million Christian Zionists out here in America that have bought into this and stuff. So I had this thought, and I went and asked questions. So I thought, okay, so the Hindus have four cases. They have the Brahmins, which are the religious people. They have the Kshatriya, which is the government military people. Then the Vaishya, which is the merchants and stuff. And then the Shudra, which is the workers. Okay. Now, if you go to India, you ask a Hindu, a practicing Hindu, does that apply to all people on earth or just to Hindus? They will tell you that it applies to all human beings, whether you're a Hindu or you're not a Hindu. So I did some research on the French Revolution, okay, which is the first leftist revolution, the Jacobins. As a matter of fact, the Jewish people in Europe thought Napoleon was the Messiah because they emancipated the Jews and let them be like normal people while Napoleon was in power. So they were very much behind the French Revolution. But anyways, they had like the three estates. The first estate was the clergy, the second estate, the nobility. The third estate was the workers and the merchants and stuff, okay, which they got rid of. And if you asked a Frenchman back then if that applied to just Frenchmen or to everyone on earth, they would say it applied to everyone on earth. So I thought, well, what about the Jewish class structure of the Pharisees, which were the wealthy, politically connected people, the Sadducees, which were the priestly, middle-class type people, and then everybody else that they didn't have a particular name for. And so I went and asked some very orthodox Jewish people and stuff. I said, did these, the Pharisee and Sadducee, did this apply only to Jewish people, or did they look at all people on earth like that? Well, I got mixed answers. About a third said, yeah, it applies to everybody. A third said, well, it probably applied to everybody. And a third said, well, I just don't know. You know, they don't know how people thought back in those days, okay? But if you look now, there's eight men that own half of everything on earth, just eight men, okay? Jeff Bezos, Bernard Arnault, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Mukesh Ambani, Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, and Larry Ellison, okay? Only two of those eight men are Jewish, okay? But they're all involved in this, Marxist globalist plot. They're all involved in it. So it would reason to be that those eight would all be Pharisees. Okay.
Sure.
And who would be the concomitant Sadducees? Well, they're Zionist Christians. Or look at the Pope, Pope Francis. He's a cultural Marxist. He hates America. He even tweeted once that America needs to come under European rule for its own good. he said that to an Italian newspaper. This was about 3 years ago. These people, I don't know. Okay, I don't know if they actually looked at these classes as being universal or just being within their own tribe. However,
sure. Are you breaking up a little? Go ahead. Go ahead. Oh, Mitch, if you can hear me, turn the phone in a different angle. Oh, we lost him. Okay, we'll get him right back. Fascinating material. Wow. Where do we go from here? I guess that's the big question. I think big things are about to happen very soon. We're seeing the time just tick by so quickly. And I would suggest that all the subtle indications are very encouraging that the communist cadre, known as the Biden team, will not be moving into the White House. Go ahead, Mitchell.
Okay, well, I think I must have been saying something too inflammatory because they cut me off. They tend to do that. I'm finding a relation between what I say and when I get cut off on
the phone.
It's
true. No, there's an absolute linkage, no doubt. Yes, oh yeah. Go ahead.
And it's just another way to silence us. I mean, I'm seeing it just evaporate everywhere. Every alternate view is being suppressed just as much as they can.
So I
just see what it is. We're in for some pretty interesting times, Jeff. I mean, if a lot of people take this vaccine,
this
is a disaster. This is going to kill billions of people, okay?
And they want, just for our listeners, I think it's important to say, they're not going to just walk around and drop over dead en masse, in unison. No, this is very insidious. This will probably unfold over the next 2 to 5 years. Cancers, liver failure, kidney disease, you name it. I think that the technology that is being implanted in people can do almost anything under direction. And remember, they need 5 and 6G to control this nanotech that they're putting in people. Go ahead.
Well, there's even some fairly good evidence, and that evidence comes from China, that if they can turn on the 5G, then when you have this in you, they can kill you on command. You can be just walking down the street and boom, drop dead right there.
And that's right.
You know,
that's right.
So
yep.
They've had films come out of China. They've had there's a lot of leakage that comes out of China. The two sources that are fairly good, the Epoch Times, they tell the truth about China, and so does the...
You know why? They're supported by anti-communist Chinese. I think it comes out of Taiwan. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're very anti-communist. And China Uncensored is like an American thing that talks about it, but they strongly pull from the Epoch Times, and even the South China Morning Post, they'll say things that in mainland China that will not be said. But I noticed that they're cracking down on the South China Morning Post, and they're having less and less, you know, free information out there.
It's,
they're starting to toe the party line now.
Yeah, that's the grim reality of communist totalitarian Bolshevik domination. That's what they do. They're like killer ants, the Chinese.
Yeah. So they're, did you see the recent thing about the massive spy ring they have in the United States?
Sure.
Almost every
huge
university, senators and congressmen, most of the Democrats.
I don't know if I've seen
staff.
That. Send me that story, please. I don't know if I've seen that in one place, but I've seen pieces all over the place. Please send that along if you can.
Okay, I'll see what I can find on it.
Yeah.
I've gotten it like you. I've gotten it from many different sources and stuff. Okay?
Right.
Plus people who are still in government who tell me what's going on and stuff. You know,
I'm sure.
I really rely on them a lot to tell me. Sometimes you would not believe things that come out of their mouth. I mean, some of these people are long working, long time federal agents. Okay, but I was talking about California, and they actually told me, "Oh yeah, we need to build a wall around California and not let those people out." You can see the government is not of one mind. Not all government employees are of one mind. Now, if you're way up high, they are of one mind. Okay. I know many colonels that refused to go get their star, even though they had plenty of time and all the criteria, because they really insist you be a cultural Marxist to get a star. Either an admiral or a general.
It's that bad.
So that's a bar to advancement. Wow. Like you're not. Well, remember H.R. McMaster, Trump's first national security advisor? There was a staffer on the national security staff that in college, in one class, he had to write a paper on cultural Marxism, and he spoke bad of it. This is not a thesis. This is just a paper in one class in college. And McMaster found out that he wrote a paper against cultural Marxism and summarily fired him.
Huh. Wow.
So
there it is.
So I see part of the problem is, you know, President Trump does not know what a cultural Marxist is. Okay. He is unaware of it, too. He doesn't know what's going on. Okay. So, and the people that he put there to inform him have not been his friends, you know.
No, and it's only going to become worse. I think something very big is coming very soon. I think I can see Donald Trump giving a nationwide address and half of the nation not liking it, really not liking it. We'll find out, but I think that may be coming. Thank you, Mitch, very much for the information,
welcome.
As always. We'll talk again soon. Keep me posted, if you would. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All righty. Good night. Okay, hold on. We're going to take a break. I promised last night I would play some Yuri Bezmenov. I'll do that. I'll play something else as well. And the next hour, we'll do a little commentary on that if the circumstance is there, and I'm sure it will be. So we're going to listen to some very interesting things coming up next. Hang on.